This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Johnny.
Now, we've spent a huge amount of time over the last few days and weeks talking about the situation in the Middle East and the ongoing war, and it still is a war, between the USA, Israel, and Iran. But there are positive signs, dare I say it, a ceasefire agreement is close. Although we do get mixed messages from the administration, the US administration. Vice President Vance says we're not there yet, but we're close. But the markets, in terms of oil, are actually pretty optimistic, aren't they?
It seems like that. We have oil currently trading. I'm looking at U.S. oil. At the time of recording this podcast, we're looking at just under $88 a barrel. And, you know, this is the lowest point that it has been since, all of May and even going into mid-April. We have seen at least the idea that the U.S. and Iran are communicating through, you know, proxies, but still communicating actively, that there is that willingness to make some kind of a deal. Although I do think that the point about still being, you know, hashing out some details could be being understated. There are some really big things we've talked about in, you know, the last podcast on Wednesday. We talked about just how the kind of very binary things that either side wants are very contradictory to one another. So it's very interesting to continue to watch these headlines roll out, because this ceasefire is sort of or an extension of the ceasefire is seemingly a act of you know, negotiation, good faith, and we will see if that materializes and converts into ongoing discussions to try and actually get to some kind of resolution. But yes, to your point, oil is not waiting for the announcement. It is moving ahead and moving down. And what we can see here is that, like I said, it's at the lowest point in a month and a half or so, and well off of its highs at $120 a barrel that we just narrowly missed here, or kind of just barely touched. The question is, you know, for investors, how long is this going to persist, where with this ceasefire, I mean, we have to think about this, like, from an inflation perspective, even at $85, $90, $95 a barrel, that is still an upward force on where we have been. Think about, you know, the last few years, we've been looking at oil as low as, you know, mid-50s, 55, 60 or so for U.S. and you know, Brent oil, Brent crude oil. I mean, you have a very different circumstance where we had already, before the oil price started to rise in 2026, we had already seen kind of an uptick in inflation. So as that works through the system, I actually saw some Fed commentary, and we'll come back to more commentary in a moment this morning, that you know, Fed officials as a group are less willing to use the transitory word this time around, right? They're looking at this and they're saying, this may actually be more structurally an inflationary problem, especially given that we have stayed here for a while. And we know inflation takes time to materialize in the economic numbers, right? It takes time for those CPI numbers, the PPI numbers, PCE numbers to start to show up and to give us a more inside view of what is truly going on with inflation. And again, gas prices remain elevated. They have remained elevated for some time. What kind of damage is this doing under the surface? What kind of inflation should we be expecting to show up in those numbers in the next few months?
And Nick, talking of inflation, we've had some interesting comments from the governor of the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey, earlier today, who has said that allowing inflation to remain above target levels, which we know are 2% for the Bank of England, he says that is appropriate in the face of all the uncertainty and weakness we have in both the UK economy here and globally. And he says that reacting too early to inflation concerns may generate undesirable volatility. And of course, he probably is talking about stagflation, low growth, high inflation, which wouldn't help. So it's interesting. It's almost setting new parameters, given that central bank target rate of 2% for CPI, with rate setters at the bank able to use monetary policy to help bring inflation down to this level. So it's giving a little bit of leeway by the sound of those comments.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it because, you know, we have seen this story play out before in 2022 where inflation spiked. Again, going back to the dialogue having been said over in the U.S. where they're not so willing to look at this as transitory, it is kind of a difference there from the Bank of England's Governor Bailey in the sense that that is sort of a like having tolerance for higher inflation in the here and now. That is sort of a variation of saying, I think that this could be transitory. Now, granted, in the UK's circumstance, as you pointed out, economic slowdown has been a stronger theme there than in the US. Now, in the US, we have also seen, just to list off a few variables here off the top of my head, in the US, we have had both the services and manufacturing PMIs miss expectations. Retail sales was in line and GDP numbers came in significantly lower than expected in the latest round of economic data. So we're seeing it to a degree here as well, where economic projections are being missed. And so when you look at that, you say, okay, economic projections being missed is a sign of like maybe a little bit of contraction in the US economy. Same in the UK's, right? We're seeing some economic contraction, which what does that do to inflation? Well, that potentially lessens it. Actually, he cited, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have it exactly in front of me, but he mentioned, well, here it is, quote, firms were telling us it was difficult to raise prices. And he also mentioned, quote, bond market tightening has bought us some time. So what's going on there? Well, let's think about that. If we have from Governor Bailey the idea that, okay, firms, businesses, unable to raise prices competitively, that's telling you the state of the consumer. That's telling you that there may not be that price-driven inflation simply because firms and consumers can't justify it. So maybe there is that case to be made that we have energy-focused inflation right now, but we expect that to at some point come to an end. And we don't see the producers and the consumers really going out and bidding things up aggressively. Remember that the dynamic that we have to think about in 2021 and 2022, at least in the United States, and again, I don't know the specifics about how it went in the UK, Johnny, but in the US, obviously, we had the sweeping stimulus checks that really suddenly injected significant amounts of capital into the all levels of income, right? You had suddenly people who, you know, did not have enough money, all of a sudden had a nice stimulus check and sort of all these sorts of grants, these considerations, these things that made it easier for them to then go out and spend it right away. So you had energy inflation, but you also had people with money going out and spending it aggressively. So these are things that we have to think about in regards to just how inflationary all of this could be.
And briefly, Nick, have those comments from the Governor of the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey, affected sterling so far today?
Yes, so far, just to take a look at what we have in the British pound versus the US dollar specifically, there was a response to the downside for the British pound, signaling that there was a bit of dovishness perceived by, as we've discussed here, a bit of dovishness detected by the markets. And the idea that, again, inflation may not be here forever, that language definitely makes people more thinking that the Bank of England is more neutral in the eyes of Governor Bailey rather than very much needs to hike interest rates, right? I mean, if we can just recall really quick with Powell, when we saw inflation rising in 2022, part of the reason the dollar was so aggressively bullish for some period of time was that every time Powell would speak, he would say, we are committed to fighting inflation and we're going to do what we need to do and we're going to stay with the course. And wherever that you know, final, remember when he kept mentioning kind of where that terminal rate is, that final rate, where are we going to go to? It was an unknown. And so that language is very different than Governor Bailey's here. Governor Bailey's not kind of pointing like, we're committed to fighting inflation. We're going to raise rates until we need to stop. We're just not getting that same kind of language. So if that changes, of course, we will we'll comment on it.
And finally, Nick, what about the week to come? What should we look out for in terms of markets and other news in the next 7 days or so?
So on Monday for the US, we have ISM manufacturing PMIs. And as I just mentioned, PMIs came in soft previously for the US. We are expecting 53.3. That is a number that personally, I'm really interested in seeing what we get there. We also have ISM manufacturing prices on Monday. So another measurement of inflation that we could look at. We also hear again from Governor Bailey on Tuesday. That's going to be 10 a.m. my time. Of course, I think that is 5 a.m. No, that's going to be later in the day for you guys in the UK. Australia has GDP numbers coming out Tuesday night. That's going to be Wednesday morning for people in the Pacific. And if we take a look at Wednesday, we have the ADP non-farm employment change. We will hear from the Bank of Japan, Governor Ueda, and we have ISM services PMIs. So while we have kind of a lighter week this week, Johnny, looking ahead, we have a very busy one because, of course, on Friday, we have the big one, the non-farm payroll numbers come out for the United States, as well as employment stats for Canada. So a heavy economic data week next week. And I think given we have had kind of a quiet period this week, all eyes will be focused on that. Very keen to see where that economic growth stuff, right? That seems to be the focus of next week. We have some PMIs, some jobs data. Very curious to see where that leaves us.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.